Said this in a long time. This is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Well, that's what we're here as part of our priestly ministry, is to minister unto the Lord and offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. So this morning we're here to welcome His presence. He's already here, but we're to acknowledge Him. And so just sit down for a minute. We're going to let Amy come, and she's going to open, and kind of, she's going into worship. She's going to give us some instructions. And Amy,
good
let's
morning.
Welcome Amy.
Good morning, Harvest family. So blessed to be here with you within the realm of our corporate anointing, both here and online. Thank you for joining with your gifts and your talents and your abilities to come together with that as one sound. Amen. So the Lord's been speaking to me a lot this week, and I heard a really short teaching about the benefits of singing, and it was a minister, and he didn't actually put it in these words, but I heard it through the scripture of singing songs of deliverance. And I believe for me personally and for us all that this is the physical, one of the physical aspects of how music, how songs, particularly songs with our theme of glorifying God, will create an atmosphere of deliverance. Amen? Okay, and so there are a couple different ways, and one of my favorite are, and we'll talk about it maybe another day, is about neuroplasticity and how the words help to train our mind in the right direction, and it coincides with the scripture that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We cling to the things that are good, pure, perfect, upright, and of good report. Amen? But that's not where we're going today. Where we're going today is something actually simpler and easier, and it is that when we sing, blood begins to be pumped more readily through our body, which stimulates the secretion of hormones. Three particularly good hormones in our bodies: endorphins, dopamine, which are cause relational well-being to be felt within us. It causes this feeling of happiness or joy. I think that it's a part of the avenue that God uses to manifest the joy of the Lord. You notice there's a scripture that talks about Him singing over us. This is something God does, and that we do in like. And then but the third one is oxytocin, which is the hormone that's secreted when a mother is singing to her baby, or when a person is lovingly looking at their dog. It secretes goodwill towards others. It's a community cohesion that comes forth within your system. Oxytocin is the goodwill fellow human being feeling. It's when we come together corporately, we are feeling that. That's being secreted. And then the fourth hormone that is affected, and it's the bad hormone, and it's overcome by these three good ones, is cortisol. And it's produced when we're stressed. It's the bad hormone. It's the one that causes stress that leads to depression. And this was particularly important for me to hear. As a worship leader, as a psalmist, What I want to give to you are the tools to walk daily in victory, amen. So recognizing that, then this just came like a day or two ago. Recognizing that the list that the Lord gave us, I want to walk through it just briefly before we get started, because as we're very intentional about these, we're not just singing songs. And we here at Harvest, we know that. We know that there's something much bigger going on. There is a linking with the sounds of heaven. There is a dynamic of Christ in us manifesting through us. As a matter of fact, we're going to be singing a song in a minute where we're literally singing to one another about the Christ in us and pulling that forward. But we're going to start with a song, and it's a new song, and that's one of the reasons why I put it first, but also because it's an establishing song, and it talks directly about how God keeps hope alive. As we stay connected with God, He keeps hope alive. And in the chorus, the words are, "You keep hope alive. From beginning to end, your word never fails." As we declare those words together as one, that's when the neuroplasticity takes place. That's when the convincing of our souls takes place. Amen? So that first song about declaring where hope comes from, where are the faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so that hope that we receive from God, Apostle Linda did a really amazing teaching on that, and I'm not even going to try to touch on that, but you're just going to have to trust me that the hope aspect is something that as we declare it will become revelated to us. And then one of the verses in this is, you keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. So then we're going to go into a song called You Are Alive. And it's a transitional song. It's declaring how He is in us and then through us. Because that's what really worship is about. Us acknowledging His lordship in us and His work through us that glorifies God. And when we do it as one, Psalm 133 says that it causes Him to get so jazzed that He commands forth the blessing. We want the blessings not just for us. We want to walk in blessings. We want to be able to give those blessings to others. Amen. That's what we're doing today. We are equipping ourselves and each other as we come into agreement for that blessing to come forth. Out of you are alive, we're going to go into now is here. Because this is the time. It is now that we are to take up the call of God on our lives. Amen? And so this is a song that we do where we literally are talking to one another. The chorus says, you are a vessel of His glory. You are a carrier of His word. I see the power of God flowing in you. We open our eyes, and we'll get to that in a minute in another song, where He's taking us from glory to glory. The more we press into this place, the more we will see and understand who God is in us and through us and in one another. Amen? So then we'll go from now is here to, guess where we go? We go to go forth. Amen? Very popular song here at Harvest, because we take the revelation of who He is in us and in each other, and we go forth in the power of His might. Amen? And after we've done all that, how can we do anything but sing of the goodness of God? And we'll spend some time right there just loving on God because of His amazing goodness. I mean, we could start there so easily, but it's really important that we release these things into the atmosphere, release the revelation, and receive the revelation. I believe that by the time we get to the goodness of God song, we're going to know more about the goodness of God than we did yesterday. That's my heart cry for me personally and for you as my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And going from the goodness of God, there's a song that's called You Keep Getting Better. And He does, but not because He's getting better, but because we are seeing Him more and more and more. He's opening our understanding, the eyes of our understanding, opening our hearts to receive and to believe and to see more and more. And I want to leave this service today at a higher level of revelation of who He is in me. I want to leave this service today, and we're going to receive the word. It's going to revelate even more and more. And so this isn't the end. This is just the diving pad for what God wants to do today. Can I tell you I'm excited? I'm excited. And then after that, we might just need to praise Him. So stand with me, and we're gonna get started in this journey that God's developed for us today. And Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful, God, for Your presence in us, for your presence that resides on the inside of us in this place that you've given us at Harvest. Lord, just a small portion of your ecclesia, but a living, breathing entity in the city, Father. We open our hearts to our city and to our regions, Father God, and we just sing the songs that we sing forth, we believe will radiate through the walls into this region, Lord, bringing the realms that you want to open to us, bringing the realms into this region, the realms of healing, the realms of your glory, the realms of provision, all the realms that you have that you want to open our eyes to, Father God. We say yes. We say yes, God. We say yes, God. Oh, God.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light a way, God, you light a way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive, you keep hope alive from the beginning to end.
You are alive.
now. God said now is here, the voice of God, ringing out for all to hear, unusual, extraordinary plans, manifesting through our hands. The time is now. Living in you. You are a vessel of God's glory. You are a carrier of His word. I see the power of God living in you. His purpose is alive. I can see it in your eyes. The way He made is clear. A transformation's here. It's here. God's glory. You are a carrier of His word. I see the power of God living in you. You are a vessel of God's glory. I see the power of God living in you. It's true.
Goodness of God. I love your this night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Christi. Kwa shukrani he. Bamba nera bako bahasa ka bamba da. I am good. Am I not good? I've been good to you, as you see. Does not my goodness lead to repentance? And the more that you repent, the more of my goodness you experience. Am I not doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think or seem? As I work in you by my spirit, I have given you and ordained for you to have an ear to hear what I'm saying. For those around you are listening and want to hear what I'm saying. So you become my voice as you yield to my workings on the inside of you. And you become my goodness that they are experiencing and looking for as you give place to me. So as you give place to me, notice you've been changed from glory to glory.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, Lord, we sing.
As long as I'm breathing.
more time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We say yes, Lord, with our praise. Hallelujah.
Wow. Wow, wow. What a demonstration of praise being a weapon of war. Amen. It's a weapon of war. Boy, I felt those hormones. I don't even know what they are. But man, they were firing. Amen. Wow, great job. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, team out there. Woo! What a demonstration. If we were praising the Lord, you can't be sad. You can't do both at once. And you know, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So you say, well, I bless the Lord. Well, you got to let it out. Something about letting out that sound. Let's give the Lord a shout. Yes! Hallelujah! Woo! Give him a shout of praise again. Come on, another shout. Yeah! Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Woo! Wow. Well, you may be seated if you can. If not, you can stand up. Doesn't bother us. Wow. Great demonstration, Amy. Great teaching on songs of deliverance. Woo! Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, in worship, and last week someone received a healing in worship. Did you? Is it still there? Yeah, stand up. Last week, Suresh came to us. Tell us what happened real loud.
Real loud, but it's threefold.
Okay.
Okay, so I was, as the Lord was saying, it's so important that we going from glory to glory and going to the presence of God. I simply just yield, as Apostle was saying, the word of the Lord, yes. Just yield to the Lord.
Yes.
So I went up and I worshiped. And I just felt the power of God.
Hallelujah.
And my husband can verify this. For weeks I've been complaining my knee. It's like I couldn't walk upstairs. Every night I would be having him pray for me. And I thank God for the prayer.
Hallelujah.
I felt every issue with the knee. So instantly I would just surrender to the Lord. And God healed me right there.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
Did the power of God come on the inside and remain upon me? But it was a pastor that I've been just praying with in Pakistan. So he was going, he had a newborn baby, him and his wife. He was going, he had something, he ain't no wood, but it was something going through his body, and he prayed. And the power of God hit him so hard, he said he was instantly healed.
Amen.
She's healed by his stripes.
Yeah.
So I told her, Mom, you the one ago that you was, we was younger kids, and they told her she had cancer. And she got 12 kids, she told that devil, you're not taking me.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Keep. That's the ripple effect. God touches one, and then you go out, and He uses your testimony. But it was in worship last week, and I know others, you know, in worship, we wait until we think we have to get hands laid on us. You don't have to get hands on. Just like worship and praise, I believe this morning that as you were praising, some hormones were being released right now, breaking off strongholds of the enemy. How many felt something change in your body this morning? Look at some of that. How many know that there's more to come? Amen. So let's keep that. Father, we thank you. Thank you for praise in our mouth. That it's a two-edged sword. When we sing, it's a two-edged sword. We sing the word. And as we were singing that, you know, it says he gets better and better. I remember a song we used to sing, and then we got rebuked on singing it. But, you know, it's scriptural because in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, he says the path of the righteous is like the first dawn of the day that gets brighter and brighter until the full manifestation. So you stay on the path of righteousness, and it does get better and better. It gets brighter and brighter until the full dawn of the day. He's not getting better. You're discovering His goodness. Amen? And so, boy, I'll tell you, how do you follow all that? Well, I got a testimony for the church this morning. You ready? Might take a minute to fire that up. Let me know when you're ready. Just last Sunday, just raise your hand when you're ready. Last Sunday, this is testimony for you to give glory to God of what you have been a part of. It says in Proverbs chapter 24, we read it yesterday. It says, a wise man builds families, communities, and businesses. So you ready? Fire that up. Last week, this was this house. This is one of our houses from G7D down the street. It's fallen apart. It's overgrown. That was last Sunday. This Sunday, look what it looks like. That's last week. This week, it's gone. Woo! Wait a minute. Got another one. Last week, this is the house. This is another house. This is the house on Winston. That was last week. This week, look what it looks like. Last week. Here it goes. Gone.
Hallelujah. Woo.
I can't hardly. It's been a wild week since that's happened. I could stand here and give you just testimonies. I mean, major testimonies of open heaven of those two things. Let me tell you what that's about. Because Grand 7 Detroit, which is G7D, it's Grand River 7 Mile Detroit, is an organization under Harvest Christian that you all have been investing in. And for the last eight years, we've been in the process, and our first strategy was to remove all the blight in the community. These were the last two houses in the community that you, through your giving and your prayers, have accomplished. We have now brought down eight houses in the community. We've renovated another 13, seven of them through a grant we got or a loan we got, and we're a third of the way through that. And if we don't do anything but keep it low, housing, income, all that debt's forgiven. Wow. And then we got another six houses that we renovated for a total of 23 houses that you have been a part of taking down, renovating. We now have the 13 of the houses are now occupied. We got one yet to renovate, so we'll have 14. We now got 10 vacant lots that are 300 feet deep. You, as Harvest Christian Church, we own 6 acres of this community. I said all that to excite you and thank you, some of you, because we started this in 2018. Really, it went back. We started accumulating houses. We accumulated 36 properties. We turned 8 of those over to other organizations. We sold it to them that are coming to the community and renovating. And we sold 4 of those to private citizens. One of those citizens is members of our church. Virgil and Christina have one of those houses. So that's the 33 of the properties that we have accumulated of the 36. And we're down to just owning the 14 and the vacant lots. Well, I said all that because many of you didn't even know about G7D because of COVID. We haven't promoted it. But good news for you is that we felt this was the closure of one season. That was one of our goals, was to remove the blight first. And we felt that happened on Monday. I came in, it was crazy. I knew they were going to do it. I expected they'd do one house at a time. I got here 10 o'clock in the morning, thinking I'd get to see some preparation, at least some demo, and they were already down, already loaded in the trucks, and the hose were in the ground at 10 in the morning. Now they're going to fill the holes, and it gives us a 300-foot lot on both of these, add it with other lots that we accumulated, and now we're ready to go to the next phase. And so that's good news, because you may not have known about it, but one of the other things, we felt it's a close of a season, and one of the fellows, Lee Fair, that you all know, has helped oversee as part of the executive team, and other members of the team is Don Donnelly and Don Armstrong and Mike Horvath overseeing this. Well, Lee has now given us 6 months to transition what he's doing, his part, which is huge, and he's going to take it and transition it to us. His part, but on March the 6th, I'll get this right, I get it mixed up. On March the 6th, it's a Wednesday. And Wednesday at noon, we're going to do a presentation. We used to do these presentations, bring investors in, but did a presentation, the launch, Grand 7 Detroit. We're going to do a mini presentation for 1 hour, and I know noon's not available for everybody. We'll be recording it so you can see it. But the first part, we're going to share the vision, the values of Grand 7 Detroit. The second part, we're going to share all the accomplishments. And one of the things I forgot to say is we took down one house that's on a triple lot and put in a park. So the park is our demonstration of God building communities. And so we're inviting all of you to come out if you can. If you can't, we'll record it. But come out on March the 6th at noon, the first hour. We'll share the vision, we'll share the values that Grand 7 has, and then we'll share the accomplishments, and then Lee will begin to share about those areas that we're looking for volunteers and people to help us fill so that we can begin to take the next part of the vision is, what do we do with 6 acres of vacant property? And what do we do to continue to bring improvement to the community? So we want to give you an invitation. You come out the first hour, and you're welcome to stay after the first hour and hear as Lee lays out the things that we're looking for people to fulfill. We got everything from grant writing to repair work to handyman to community communications, you know, HR to, it's just so exciting. And since that's happened, and this week we've had some testimonies I'll share later, because I could share some things are just exploding right now. And just keep pressing in with us, but you're invited out on March the 6th at noon. If you can't make it and you still want to know the vision for Harvest Christian Church, you can see it, because we'll record it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a praise, a shout. I thought I was going to get up and run around here this morning. That's how it's been all week. When I came in this Monday and I saw those down, I let out a woo and scared all the ladies in the place. And they say, "What's wrong?" I say, "Houses are down, two of them." And then they started shouting and screaming. So you can shout and scream because it's been a long process. And you've been a part of it financially. So when you're giving on your envelopes, you know when you give to G7D, it's going into Harvest Christian Church to building a community and transforming it. And so we want to transform the community now just beyond buildings, but start to touch lives. We got people in some of our houses here in the congregation, and we know them, but we want to expand that. So, okay, I better get off that. But in your giving, you know what you're doing. Couple other announcements, a lot of them actually. It's a connecting point this week. Ladies, you don't want to miss that. I know it's only February, but this week, by the end of the week, it's going to be March. And so a Saturday is Connecting Points, March gathering. So ladies, you want to come and be a part. God's moving, and you want to invite someone to come. Bring a lady, a friend, someone to encounter God. It's all about having an encounter with God. A couple other announcements. I got so many papers here, I don't know what I'm doing. But a couple other announcements is if you better vote this week.
Amen.
Say, but there's not much to vote on. It's not about it's about your voice.
Yes. Right.
And if you don't vote, then you don't get a right to have a voice in what's going on. So God has given us the privilege of voting, you say, and we got to get away from voting on personalities.
Come on.
Look, and you're going to hear a lot about that. It's going to be on policies. It's going to be on biblical kingdom values. As we progress in this season, and I know it may seem like it's all over, who's going to be running and all that, but it's not over till it's over. And so you need to get out and vote.
Yes.
Our primary is Tuesday. A week from this Tuesday on March the 3rd, is it March 3rd or March 5? March 5 is the Super Tuesday. It would be pretty much over who's running by then. But you need to get out and vote. And this one, you can only vote what you've registered party-wise. So if you registered Republican or Democrat, you can only vote in that party. And so, but we
can't wait to the 5th.
No, we can't wait to the 5th.
They can vote down the
5th. Yeah.
Make sure they know early.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the 5th is a Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
This Tuesday, the 27th, is ours, Michigan's primary. Everybody get that? I know it's confusing, but you're going to hear a lot more as we progress through this year. And so we want to encourage you with that. Easter is 1 month away. It's March 31st, and we're excited about that because on March 31st, we're going to have a water baptism. And so this week, we're going to be putting that together. God just showed me that there's some of you here that have been water baptized. And I've heard people say, "I've been water baptized 2 and 3 times. You know, if every time I got born again and got water baptized, I'd be getting baptized almost every week. But some of you are going to have such an encounter through March that you're going to have a revelation of what water baptism is all about and the significance of it, that you'll want to get water baptized again.
Amen.
And so if you're looking for the time to get water baptized because you met Jesus, made him Lord of your life, and you haven't followed through water baptism, and water baptism doesn't save you, it's an outward evidence of an inward work. And so the inward work is you're born again. You've accepted Jesus as Lord of your life. And now you're making a public confession of it. And I love the example in Acts chapter 2. Peter said that when they said, "What shall we do?" after his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, water baptized, and you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. For this promise is unto you and to your children's children. Yes. So I believe we'll have people that not only will get water baptized, but I believe simultaneously you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So you can sign up out there. We need to know how many to prepare for. But on Easter Sunday, you know, I know this breaks all tradition because you get all dressed up and you say, I'm not going to get dressed up, get my hair wet, get my clothes wet. Well, we're breaking tradition right now. When, you know, so, and then after that, you know, from time to time, we can just have spontaneous water baptisms as people come in and confess Jesus. So that's March 31st. Man, lots going to happen in March. March is going to go fast. So buckle your seatbelts. Besides the regular activities and things we got going on, you pick up the harvester. Appreciate Steve putting that out. You can see the schedule. We have prayer going first fruits on Tuesday, every Tuesday. We have prayer going Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at noon to 1. So we have just a lot of pressing in the Spirit. So we want to encourage you to engage and be a part of it. Oh, cross immersion. Cross immersion is March 30th. That's the day before Easter. They always do it on Easter weekend. And if you want to get prepared and have a God encounter with the cross, that will prepare you for water baptism. And so you can go there, and you have not had an encounter with the cross, this will give you an encounter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Whoa.
Ready?
Yeah, have a nice day. No.
Is it at the new church at MDCC?
No, it's at the old church. This will be the last time that they meet. They have bought a new building in Farmington Hills on 12 Mile, but it's not, they haven't moved into it. They're still transitioning. So this will still be at their site on Middle Belt and 15 Mile Road for those registering for cross immersion. And it's only Saturday, not Friday and Saturday, okay? So that's March 30th, the day before Easter. Woo!
Right?
Let's pray. We got several people. Eric, you know Eric sits up usually up here. He had back surgery this week and some vertebrae fused together and some things. Haven't heard a report. Also, pray for Tina. You know, Tina's sister passed and she had to go and take care of the affairs of her sister. And so pray for Tina. We have a few others I know this week just in. Yes, Uncle George, I call him Uncle George, but it's Kathy and Chelsea's grandfather and Kathy's father, George, this week. So pray for him, and it's good to see Vince back and his eyes recovered, and good to see, and Christine had a testimony, she had an encounter, a physical encounter, and things are happening, there's hopping. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We come boldly into the throne room of grace as the body of Christ. And we thank you that, Father, as we come in, Father, through the veil, the flesh and the body of Jesus, we thank you that as we boldly lift up these prayer requests, we pray for Tina, just give her wisdom, give her, Father, strategy, give her, Father, grace and favor and comfort and peace, and Father, in the midst of grieving her sister, but Father, also her affairs. So we thank you. We send your word to Tina. We thank you for Eric right now. We declare healing by your stripes. Heal his back in the name of Jesus. All these vertebrae, and Father, thank you for freeing this nerve, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for touching them. We thank you for those that are shut in. We thank you for Sandy Harshman. By your stripes, she's healed. We declare it. We declare that over Kay Bisou right now in the name of Jesus. We say for Kay to be healed over Helen Campbell. Campbell, in the name of Jesus, touch her body, heal her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you right now. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for those in our own families. Thank you for the testimonies of those that you are healing and those that you have healed. And we thank you. You're the great physician, the great healer. You're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. And we declare healing right now is a portion and the bread of your children. So we receive healing in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And Father, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, right now. Yes. Illuminate these minds right now. Touch us that we might be transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for an encounter. So we welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo, woo. Try and think where to start.
At the beginning.
At the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Taken in the New Testament, and the Word became flesh, Jesus. So I just took you from Genesis to John. So you want to go to Revelation, we can go there too. Woo! We've been covering a lot of territory in the last few weeks. But one of the things the Lord is doing, he's restoring the revelation that Jesus and John the Baptist initiated as they preached. They said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near or at hand. The kingdom of God. He's restoring the message of the kingdom. And if we understand, if the message of the kingdom, there's a king. And so in that kingdom, the fear of the Lord is something that he's restoring. It's not being afraid of God, but it's honoring his presence and in awe. I got a couple of things to just, a couple of scriptures to start off with. And you just write this down. That's not a part of the message, but Ecclesiastics. So you don't have to look at it. And out of the New American Standard, Ecclesiastics 12 and 13 and 14, the very last verses. If you understand that Ecclesiastics was written by Solomon. Remember, Solomon was called the wisest man. He wrote all the Proverbs. So I hope you're reading through Proverbs, because Proverbs is highlighting the wisdom of Solomon. But Solomon didn't finish as good as he started. He had wisdom dropped to him. And then in Ecclesiastics, it's his struggle. He cries out several times, vanity, vanity. Everything's vanity. And he comes to this conclusion at the end of Ecclesiastics. And listen to this as I read it to you. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whatever is good or evil. So Solomon, who was a wise man, accumulated more wealth than anybody. He knew more facts about God's creation. But in the conclusion, he says, the conclusion is this. Doesn't matter if you have all the wisdom if you don't fear God. Says, fear God. This is the conclusion. Amen. To finish strong, he said that. And then Charles Spurgeon said this, the fear of God is the death of every other fear. Amen. Oh, I love that quote. The fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases all other fears before it. It's not chasing at me. I'm chasing all other fears away. So the fear of God. We were in the restaurant yesterday having breakfast, and these four young men, I think they were still in high school, they got up and they walked by, and on the back of one sweatshirt, it had this, essentials, fear the Lord. I said, and then another one had just faith, and God on his. These were four young men. I was so encouraged. I want to jump out, and I couldn't quite get out of my seat quick enough, and they paid their bill. But on the back, it says, essentials. Fear the Lord. Oh, I like that. I might get, that. Fear the Lord. The essentials. It says essentials, plural, but it only had one thing to do, because that takes care of everything else. So that really fired me up yesterday. Isaiah 32:6 says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Isaiah 11:3 says, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, fear the Lord, for it's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, fear the Lord, it is the beginning of knowledge. And then we have Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you get this? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me say this. As much as we are in Christ, is also in Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. We access the kingdom of God. You can read Ephesians chapter 1, and it talks about every spiritual blessings in heavenly places has already been given to us in Christ Jesus. But that same every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is also in Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, I'm sending one just like you. But he's not only going to be in you or with you, he's going to be in you. Do you get this? So the kingdom of God, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Another translation says it's not only in your midst, it's in you and among you. So I believe Jesus was prophesying. Until he was resurrected from the dead, he was saying, the kingdom of God is in your midst. But after his resurrection, he says, it's no longer in your midst. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Because the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm just recapping the last month as best I can. So we can go on. Because I told you we're in a series. I don't know what series that is, what call it. Well, we're in a series. Let me give you just one thing about in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about our bodies are being the temple of Holy Spirit. Let me just break down this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I feel like I got a motor mouth going this morning. It's a gusher of all this stuff coming out from the inside. That's what happens. You get the word on the inside of you, and when Holy Spirit has to, he'll draw it out. And it won't go by your mind. I mean, I couldn't do all that by my mind. I guarantee you. I'm not that smart. I'm not that fast. But in the Spirit, man, it just, you get these gushers. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to this really carefully. Verse 19. And I'm going to read it not only in the New American Standard. I'm going to read it also in the Passion. So let me find that. Trying to keep up with myself here. Okay, here's what it says in the New American Standard, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know? So he asks a question, do you not know? There's about four or five things here, and we could preach on them all. Do you not know that your body? So the first thing is, it's talking about your physical body. It's talking about you and I. That's how we identify each other, is by our physical appearance. But that's not the real you. The real you is what's on the inside of you. And when you get born again, your spirit man becomes alive. And when it becomes alive, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells. So he says, do you not know that your body is a temple? Notice, first thing is, if you don't realize you have a body... But you are a body, but your body is a temple. You ever thought about that? Your body is a temple. And then the next thing it says, of the Holy Spirit. So not only do you have a body, but your body is a temple. And when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes in you, and your body is now the temple of Holy Spirit. Come on. I mean, this is so simple, you mess it up by trying to figure it out. Do you not know that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit? And then it says, who is in you? So your body is the temple, and it's the temple of Holy Spirit, who is in you. He's not on the outside of you. He's not knocking, trying to get in. Most cases, he's trying to get out. Get out of prison. We've imprisoned him. Wake him up. Do you not know, church, that your body is not going to be. It is when you receive Jesus and receive the baptism. It's not something in the future. Your body is now when you got born again.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send one just like me. And he's not only going to be with you. It's great that I'm with you. But there's something greater than me being with you. It's Holy Spirit or me being in you. So do you not know? It's a question. And it's also in 2 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 3. He asked that question. Do you not know that your body is a temple? And it's a temple of Holy Spirit. And that temple, which is Holy Spirit, is in you. So the temple is not outside. It's not this body. The temple that he's forming is on the inside of you. And when you get born again, he starts the construction. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Woo! Isaiah 11 talks about the Spirit of God and the seven pillars of that Spirit. It talks about word of knowledge, word of wisdom, but the last one is the fear of God. And he says he delights in that pillar, the fear of God. So in this pillar that he's building of the temple of Holy Spirit, Jesus is the cornerstone, and he's the master builder and architect, and he's building something. It's not out here. He's building something in here called his temple. Ooh. Oh my goodness. Who is in you, whom you have from God. You already have everything you need from God. It's already in you, on the inside of you. And now he's building. He can only build when our minds are renewed, when the word becomes alive. He builds upon his word and revelation. But he's called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge and understanding. You want more understanding of this building? Get more Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be the contractor, the architect, and the builder.
Amen.
It's his temple. It's his building project. He's the master architect. He's the head contractor. Just get out of the way. Partner with him. That's what it means. Fellowship with Holy Spirit. We partner with him. He's the master builder. I'm partnering. So how do I build that temple that's on the inside of me, who houses Holy Spirit, which is given of God? I cooperate in partnership and intimacy with Holy Spirit. Woo! This isn't the message yet. I'm just recapping. Because we talked about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Well,
notice what else it says. And that you are not your own. Woo! This building's not yours. You don't get to put the furniture in it. He's trying to get your furniture out so he can get his in. Okay. Verse 20, I love it. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You've been bought with a price. When you realize the precious price, and that's going into Easter and all that, it reminds us. That's what communion is about. It reminds us. It was a high price. He laid down his life. He shed his own blood. He paid a price so that you could walk with him and manifest him through you. Oh my goodness. So let me read out the passion. Verse 19. Can you hold on? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? We ought to wake up every day and remind ourselves. Woo! Not only am I waking up, but Holy Spirit, you're on the inside. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid with tears of blood, so that by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. Woo! I don't have to preach, I just read this. Just keep reading all this. That's the power of the word, reading it out. Out loud. The word will wash you. The word will build on the inside of you. Amen? So let me find a... I'm winding down the intro. I'm trying to recap because this isn't going away. Romans chapter 12. I'll read it from the Passion. Also read it from the New American Standard. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, New American Standard, therefore I urge you. Now, I was going to read all of chapter 11 out of the Passion, because this connects the importance of Israel. Why is what going on in Israel so important to us in the end times? If you read in the Passion, chapter 11, it will tell you why. It will tell you also that they rejected God's plan for them in provision, and because they rejected that plan, God turned to the Gentile nations, and he, by his mercy, gave us the opportunity of coming into relationship with God. It says in chapter 11, though, at the time of the end of the Gentiles, and that's Matthew 24, when the kingdom message is preached to all nations, when that time comes, God will return back to Israel and finish his dealing. Therefore, that's why you can read this. Therefore, because of all this, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. So you're going to hear this in Proverbs. Because of God's mercy. What mercies? He's talking about, he's had mercy on the Gentile nations. If you're born again, his mercies to you, shedding his blood. Because of his mercies for you, notice what it says, the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect will. And keep reading. I was going to go read chapter 11 and 12 out of Passion. That was what I was intending. And he said, well, don't do all that today. That's too much. So I'll just give you the Passion of chapter 12, verse 1, too. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Ooh, we talk about his goodness and his mercy. What should be our response? He's looking for a response. But he's not just looking for something spontaneous out of you. He's going to tell you what his response is. Now you get a choice to respond the way he tells you. You go your own way. That's rebellion. What should be your proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this brings your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you. But inwardly, be transformed inwardly by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Oh, yes. Amen. Go home.
Yeah.
Go do likewise. Amen. Okay, that will bring us to where we are, our key scripture that we start every week off of. I gave you a quick scenario, recap. Woo. Take a breath. 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember, that's where we started, kind of the beginning of the year. We're now through February. This is where we said, this is it. This is what God's resetting. This is all about God's reset. Don't worry about the reset of the world. Everything should be shaken, be shaken. He's taking care of that. He's more concerned about resetting his church and getting us on the right path. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, and you can go read 1 Peter 1. But therefore, because of all that, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men. That living stone is Jesus. It was rejected by men. That's Israel. But is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also as living stones. So if you get born again, then you become a living stone. He's the main stone, and we're just the chip off the old block. Some of you need a little humor because that's how you relate. But you're a chip off the old block. But notice what it says. You are living stones, but you are being built. So we're not just corporately, all of you are a stone. We're not just a pile of stones here. Harvest Christian Church has a destiny. We have a purpose. And you as living stones, notice what it says, are being built up into a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. What is that temple? It's your body. Where is that? Holy Spirit lives. He lives in your body, which is given to you above God, that was bought with a high price, connecting the scriptures. You get this? So you are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And you can go through, read this. We've gone through the rest of the chapter. But verse 9 says, but you are now a chosen race or a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. See, he saved you and paid a price, and now he possesses you. Not in a bad way, but in a good way.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I love the story that Dr. David talked when he was on an airplane coming over to America, and there was a successful businessman, very wealthy, and he says, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm involved in takeovers and mergers. And Dr. David said, wow, that's interesting. I'm also in my father's business. And I'm involved in mergers and takeovers. The guy opened up and says, wow, what a coincidence. And you know what kind? He says, oh, man, properties, peoples. This guy was really fascinated. He thought he was something until he started to tell him what his father's business was. Okay. Some of you'll get that later. Woo! But notice two things here. It says in verse 5, you are a spiritual, being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And in verse 9 says, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And that word royal there is a kingly priesthood. This is where we're going to shift. And I told you we'd make a shift. I don't know how far we'll get today in the shift. Because this is a key. If you understand this shift out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, it will change how you do everything. And it's all in Hebrews. I believe Hebrews is one of the key books in the Bible. It's been hidden for such a time as this. But if you understand the transition that Hebrews takes us through. So that's what I want to start today. And then we'll pick it up next week. Is that all right? We're in a series, but I'm going to start and whet your appetite. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. I encourage you, stay in Proverbs, but Start reading through Hebrews, because Hebrews is a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. If you don't understand this, you're going to be still operating under old covenant terms. And I want to say most of the priesthood in the church today is operating under the Levitical priesthood.
Yes, it is.
Because we don't understand the difference between the Levitical and the Melchizedek order. The Levitical, it was just priests. There were priests and kings, but the tribe of Levi was the only priesthood in the Old Testament. And the New Testament says you are a royal priesthood. It only did sacrifices in the temple. Are you following this? Let me say a couple of things just popped in my... I get these pops. I have to now think, do I give them or do I not? We're talking about the kingdom of God, understanding a king and the kingdom of God. And in the Bible, every nation was ruled by kings. So we're at a disadvantage in America because we operate under a democracy. But when you read in the Bible, every nation was operated by a king and he had final authority. That's Isaiah chapter 32 that we said last week. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And he is our king and he will save us. So he's all three of those in one, not divided. Okay? I just can't get that out of my head. I released that to the pastor's group. I said, what is saying, Apostle, to you? And I said, I released that and the whole place came unglued. That's it. They're all preaching that, but didn't have the scripture to put that. Oh, okay. I tell you, it's been a wild week, so I'm trying to catch some up on this. But chapter 5, you know, there's this transition. And I love to even start with chapter 4, because chapter 4 is so powerful. So we'll back up to verse 12, chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active. Woo! This word, this covenant, you know, if you understand covenants or you understand wills, there's a living will. This contract, this word is a living will. Oh my gosh, it's not a dead one.
Right.
It's alive, it's living. Woo! So when you read this, you're reading God's will for us. You know, will goes into operation only when there's a death. But in this case, not only did Jesus die, but he became the executor of his estate by being resurrected, and he's watching over it, so it's a living will. It can't get messed up. Okay, that's just a side thing. Okay, so therefore, no, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Oh my goodness, that's going to help someone right there. He's not a high priest that doesn't know what you're feeling. To spend all your time telling him how you're feeling, he already knows that. Let me read that again, because we're talking about the priesthood. And we're to be the priesthood after the same order that Jesus is. So it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. That blows my mind. You say, well, he doesn't know my time. He says, he's been tempted. I mean, this is Jesus. And right now, the thing that is going across in the church right now, people don't believe that Jesus is sinless. There's your scripture. He was tempted in all manners. And so you just think of all the areas you're tempted in, and Jesus was tempted there. And temptation is not the sin, but given into it. Are you following this? So he can sympathize with you when you're going through your temptation, because he was there at one time. Oh my goodness. Woo! Woo! A great high priest. I mean, the priest in the Old Testament, before they could offer the priest for the sins of Israel, had to offer blood for their own sins because they weren't perfect. But when Jesus went into heaven, he offered his blood once and for all, settled that. I'm telling you, Hebrews will come alive to you. You'll be shouting like I am, running around. Woo! And I'm just starting to do this, man. I can understand these old timers. I'm preaching myself happy. You know it's Holy Ghost when you preach yourself happy. So preach to yourself. How do you do it? Start reading out loud. Start personalizing this. It's his word. Okay. Here we go. Was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. There's your argument if someone says, I don't believe that Jesus was without sin. Here's your scripture. Let them deal with it. You don't have to argue with them. This is your argument. Therefore, verse 16, because of that, therefore let us draw near, not far away, but get near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace in the time to help in the time of need. Wow, that's a mouthful. Now we get to chapter 5. How are we doing? We're doing okay. Don't worry, we'll pick up next week. Chapter 5. For every high priest, it's talking about in the Old Testament, in the Levitical order, every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. I won't get to it today, but remember gifts and sacrifices, because this is one of the ministry of our priesthood that we're entering into. This is talking about the Levitical priesthood, and they... Four men, they went in for you. You know, I'm glad I don't have to have one of you go in for me. I got an advocate. Jesus goes in for me. And I can come boldly into the throne room of grace. I don't have to send an advocate to pray for forgiveness of my sins, to stand up and plead my case. Woo! Oh, that's a different story too. Verse 2. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided. Oh boy. Maybe we shouldn't read that one. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people. It's talking about Levitical priesthood. As for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So that's the whole thing. They were chosen by men, which was Aaron, to represent men before God. Aren't you glad you don't have to have someone? We're under a new covenant. Woo! I'm glad I don't have to have some man who's got the sin nature on the inside of him. When I talk to him, he's got the same temptations I have. In fact, I find I'm doing better than he's doing, and he's going to represent me before God through confession. Verse 5, here we go. You ready? You ready to shout and run and scream? So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, and who said to this to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Here is the first mention in the New Testament, first mention in the Bible of the order of Melchizedek. And we'll look at that maybe next week because it's on Communion Sunday. I want to share this one. But it's in first mention of the order of Melchizedek is prophesied of Jesus is in Genesis chapter 14. So you can read that if you want before, but next week we'll get in that. But this is what, so Jesus wasn't appointed by men. He's appointed by Father, God. So not a man to represent me before God, but Jesus to represent me before the Father. Isn't that good? Woo, yeah. Woo, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just as it also says in another passage, and that passage is, he's quoting is Psalm 110. You can look at Psalm 110. It mentions the order of Melchizedek in that. That's a different priesthood than the order of Levi. So this is his transition. Notice verse 7. This is key. There's so much in here. It's loaded. In the days of his flesh, it's talking about Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications. This is what the priesthood of Melchizedek, number one thing is to offer up prayers and supplications. Remember gifts and offerings? We're going to talk about those next week. In fact, Amy just led us in one of those offerings as a sacrifice of praise. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. There's four things in there that are what you're to offer up and as a sacrifice. The fruit of your lips. Amen. You can go find that in chapter 13. We'll get there, but not today. Amen. Oh. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Is he tempted like you? Jesus, in the garden, cried out. He said, "If it be possible, you can send angels to get me out of this mess. But not my will, your will be done." He surrendered his will to the Father's will. Otherwise, he couldn't be tempted like you and I in all things. Are you out there? Okay, I see you. You're nodding your heads. That's good. At least nod your heads so I can. Whew. Look what it says. One able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. You can look that up. In verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience. Yeah. Ah. How could Jesus represent you if he doesn't learn obedience the same way you do? So Jesus learned obedience as a son. We learn obedience, and then he tells us how this obedience is learned. He learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Are you suffering through anything? I heard a great sermon on this. That, you know, he leads you in the wilderness. Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness. Not to stay in the wilderness. Psalm 23 is so powerful. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He leads you in the wilderness, and he'll prepare a table in the midst of your sufferings, and the table is his word and his presence. If you'll feast upon his word and keep walking, it's to bring you out in the power of the Spirit.
Yes, amen. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit leads you to put something in you. Jesus went in the wilderness, led by the Spirit. He was tempted in all things like you and I. And he came out in the power. Why? Because he yielded to the Father and his will. Not my will, but his will. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Are you learning anything through the things you're suffering? The trouble is, stop going around the same mountain.
Come on.
The strategy of the enemy is to keep you in the suffering.
Yes.
God's strategy is to get you out.
All right.
So to get you out, he says, keep walking.
Yes.
And I've said, eat of the table. I've sat in the presence. So when you start suffering, just see yourself in the presence of all that suffering at the table of the Lord, feasting upon his word, speaking his word.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen, amen,
amen,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Because you're coming out.
Amen.
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 Okay. Wow.
Thank you.
Woo. Verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much more to say, and it's hard to explain since we have become dull of hearing. And then he goes into a rebuke to the body. You should be eating meat, but you're still on milk. The basic doctrines of the Bible we want to be taught over and over and over again, where we should be teachers of these things and moving on. So he talks to you about all that, and we're not going to talk about the rebuke. You can go through there. But he does tell you according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay. Oh, I got 6 more minutes, 7 more minutes. I'm going fast. Woo. Let's look at each time where it talks. So chapter 6 kind of goes through that, and then he picks up again. And he gets down near the end of chapter 6. And then verse 19 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. The hope that we have enters within the veil. That's the holy place. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Everybody else watched from the outside to see if the sacrifice was consumed or not. In the New Testament, he went through the veil. And his flesh is now that veil. And so what does it say? This hope, both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner. If there's a forerunner, it means there's others behind him. So we are being built as living stones, a holy royal priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. He broke the old order, and it was a new order. He went through the veil, and now through the veil of his flesh, you and I can come boldly into that throne room of grace and access the same mercies that the priest did for the people. Where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You can read this with Genesis 14 chapter 7 verse 1, for he starts off, I'm just going to read this, I'm not going to comment on it, I'll just read it. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was entering from the slaughter of kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all of his spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. I dare say that this is a pre-incarnation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Has no genealogy. Abraham met him, and I'll just give you a little clue. Abraham met him 400 years before the law. just chew on that for a little while. Chapter 7, verse 17. I love this. Back up. And this is clear still. If another priest arises according to the, if another priest, it's talking about Jesus, to the likeness of Melchizedek, he who became such, not on the basis of law of physical requirements, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested of him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there's a setting aside of the former commandment because of its weaknesses and usefulness, for uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in a better hope through which we draw near to God, inasmuch as it was not without an oath. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Amen. Now you can go because we transition into the new order, chapter 8, 9, and 10. And in this new order, he writes the law on the tables of our heart and our mind. He's the lawgiver. I'm going to tell you, you get into Hebrews, man, it's so exciting. I don't want to go back to that old order. Jesus comes after the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever, a forerunner for all those that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, what a journey you set us on. When we receive Jesus, we're born again. It's our spirit that becomes alive. And we thank you, Father, that the spirit on the inside of us, in this body, our body contains a temple of Holy Spirit that is of God and bought with a price. And so, Father, we thank you that you have given us governorship over this temple. What goes in, we thank you. We're to be a watchman over our gates, our eyes, our ears, and our mouth. Because we're a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Your possession, bought with the price of your precious blood. So we thank you, Jesus, that even today you're making intercession for us, and you're making intercession for the world. We thank you that we can stand in the gap with you because we're seated with you in heavenly places. You've gone through the veil, and we can come boldly anytime we want into the Holy of Holies. And we're seated with you and making intercession with you. We pray, Father, for the great harvest of those that have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're asking right now, open up nations. Thank you that we begin sending missionaries, Father, out into, Father, nations who have not heard as yet heard. We thank you not only that, but Father, those who have heard but have refused to receive Jesus as Lord of their life, to surrender unto him as Lord and King. We say, Father, stir them up. We pray there's a great outpouring. You said, repent and return so that the times of refreshing might come, the time of revival. For Jesus must remain in heaven until the appointed time or the restoration of all things. And this is the restoration of all things. And so we pray right now, Father. And you said today is the day of salvation. That, Father, you offer to all mankind, Jesus, the supreme sacrifice for their sin nature. That we would surrender our life and take your life on. So that you can put your kingdom not only in us. We don't want to just see it coming. You said you put it in us. So that we might rule and reign with you as priests and kings. So this morning, if you're here and you've never surrendered and completely given your life over to Jesus, allow him to come in and be King Superior and Lord Almighty. He sent Jesus and he paid a high price. He was tempted in the garden and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And on the cross, Father, he took the sin of the world. Took my sins, past, present, and future. And he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord. Let's just do this as we surrender ourselves together. And it doesn't matter if you've done it 100 times, 1,000 times. We all need to be reminded. So say, Father, I thank you and praise you. That you so loved me and the world, that you sent Jesus, made in the likeness of man, tempted by everything that I'm tempted of, yet without sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you learned obedience through the things that you suffered so that I might be set free. I thank you for your obedience to the cross. And I believe in my heart that you died for me, my sins, and the penalty and consequences of my sin, death and eternal separation. I believe you were raised from the dead. I believe you ascended into heaven and that you were seated at the right hand of the Father. And I know the Father said to you, sit here until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now it's my turn to represent you in your kingdom. I seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these things. These other external things, these natural things are added onto me because I seek first the King and His kingdom. Let your will be done now in my life, in my heart. I receive you as Lord and King. Thank you, I'm born again. And you said when I receive you, you would send the gift of the Father, Holy Spirit. You'll send one just like you. So now that my spirit man is born again, send Holy Spirit into my spirit man and lead me and guide me in all truth. Fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Come now and rule and reign in my life that I might be the high priest that I've been ordained to be. Holy. Whoa. Holy and righteous in Jesus' name. Amen. You know the good news is if you prayed that and you may pray it again, but I feel like I get born again every time I. That's why I said I. We might have a baptismal up and everybody gets baptized every week. I don't know. But the baptism of water is an outward evidence of an inward work. If you haven't done that and we baptize you in water, you just get wet. So consider this next month. If I made that and you haven't ever been water baptized, we'll make it convenient. It'd be a safe place, be a time to celebrate. And I believe you can get everything at once. You know, you get saved, water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So let's stand and we're going to pray over you and just release you. Whoa. Just raise your hand. This is a new time. There's an open heaven. Father, I bind all doubt and unbelief right now. You said if we ask, all things are possible to him that believes. We believe you're the Savior. We believe you're the healer. And you not only died for my sins, but it says that you also, by your stripes, took my sicknesses, my disease, my infirmities. And so, Father, we thank you. The blood paid the price for all my diseases, all my sicknesses, all my infirmities, the little ones and the big ones, all pain. Go in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I receive my healing now. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You died for my sins, my sicknesses, my disease, my infirmities. In Jesus' name, I receive, I believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm a believer. And so I receive by faith. I declare those things that are not, that they're coming to pass. In Jesus' name, I receive. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo, woo. Wow, wow, wowie, wowie. Well, there's someone here not, I know we got some visitors. If you're a visitor, fill out the card. If you want to get water baptized, you can sign the sheet back there. We'll be contacting you and preparing you for that. But it's good to see some visitors and some of you coming back. But, whoa. Go. Go in the power of his might and strength. Amen. Mission Field's out there. Be a carrier of his presence. Greet two or three people that you might not know, and just greet them in Jesus' name.